Welcome to Mr. Biz Radio, biz talk for biz owners. If you're ready to stop faking the funk and take your business onward and upward, this show is for you. And now, here's Mr. Biz, Ken Wentworth.
All right, welcome to another episode of Mr. Biz Radio. Me, Mr. Biz, Ken Wentworth. And this week, we are going to, we keep striving to do this, right? Talk about things that we haven't talked about on the show before. And it's getting more difficult as we've been doing the show for almost 7 years now. And while we have talked about the whole concept and the very different angles of leadership and how important it is to be a good leader, how to be a good leader, what makes a bad leader, all those sorts of things, we've never talked about the importance of self-leadership, and more importantly, how to be a good self-leader and how important that is to be a good self-leader in order to be a good leader of others. And so we're going to do that this week with our guest, Mr. Mike Kelly. Mike is an executive coach, consultant, financial planner, and a board director. He is managing partner of Right Path Enterprises, where he helps clients improve their ability to lead themselves and others. He's also the founder and principal of Kelly Financial Planning, where he helps clients clarify their goals and make more informed life and financial decisions. He's also a speaker and trainer who focuses on topics related to improving individual and organizational performance and getting results through others. He is also the author of a book, Leader Fluence, Secrets of Leadership Essential to Effectively Leading Yourself and Positively Influencing Others. He's a fellow Buckeye. We're based around Columbus, Ohio. He's in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was giving him some grief before the show because I'm a Steeler fan. He's a Bengals guy. But that all aside, Mike, welcome to Mr. Biz Radio.
Thank you very much, Ken. Hey, it's great to be with you. And the fact that we are not really opposing sides, Cincinnati, I'm sure you root for the Bengals because they're really good right now.
I'm a Buckeye guy, so they have Joey Burrow. So, yeah. And our youngest daughter, she is convinced that Joe Burrow is going to be her future husband. So I've got that going on. But Mike, before we start diving into self-leadership and some of the aspects of that, if you would walk us through, you've had a fascinating journey. Walk us through a little bit of your career journey, your entrepreneur journey.
Yes. And again, thank you for having me. It's great to be with you today to talk about a topic that I'm really passionate about, personal leadership.
Yep.
But as far as my journey is concerned, I'll go back to Michelin. I work for a French-owned tire company called Michelin, based out of Clermont in France. I worked in South Carolina. I'm in Ohio now, but I started in South Carolina with Michelin. And I worked in a manufacturing plant where we made tires, passenger light truck tires. And I started out as an operations type of supervisor with that company. But I got an opportunity to work in operations in a plant that actually made tires, leading a team of people. And after that, I got into HR. So I worked in human resources and a newly created human resources position, which was really a good job. I really enjoyed that very much. And I also had an opportunity to be a benefits manager while I was in that role, in addition to getting experience in all other areas of human resources, which introduced me to finance. I had an opportunity then to work in sales, and I really enjoyed that. And I did not realize how important that experience would be to me as I started on this entrepreneur journey, but it was a wonderful experience for me. Not easy, but it was a great, great experience for me. And Michelin gave me a chance to really innovate, explore. They were a company that really challenged you to think beyond what you could see. And I had an opportunity as a quote unquote high potential leader with them to get involved in projects that, for example, they put me on a project that was focused on creating a new channel of distribution for North America for small tire and passenger and light truck tires. And that was great. So it was almost like being an entrepreneur then. And in addition to that, I had an opportunity to help with creating a new channel, a new 18-month forecasting system for the company. So that sort of gave me some additional experience, wonderful experience. I moved to Cincinnati to get the sales experience, actually. So I came to Cincinnati for what was supposed to be 1 year, and it turned into eight. I worked out of my home. They created jobs back before actually remote working was a thing. I was working remotely. I had a boss who was in Pittsburgh. But anyway, worked with them a number of years, loved the company, traveled overseas. But then Macy's came knocking at my door, and they put something on the table that was really an offer that I couldn't refuse. I listened to the offer, ended up countering, and they thought, well, hey, we can do this. So I left Michelin, which was not easy, and I went to Macy's. And I went into Macy's with an undefined job, but I ended up serving with that organization as a vice president of learning and development. I had a team of about 125 people spread out around the country Tampa, Phoenix, St. Louis, Cincinnati. We built a learning function, and I actually had an opportunity to leave that before walking away in 2016 to really volunteer in the community and also to start our businesses. And I actually started Right Path Enterprises. One of the reasons I started that executive coaching, consulting, training is because I ran into a lot of people in corporate America who wanted to be on the outside running their own businesses, but they didn't know how to get out. They were stuck. And I started the financial planning business because I saw that a lot of times they weren't making smart decisions with the money that they were making. So they were locked in. So my goal is really to help people realize what matters most to them and then develop a plan for achieving it. And also holding them accountable for taking those steps that are necessary. So that's why I do what I do. It's really at the end of the day, focused on making a difference in the lives of people and ultimately our world.
Well, Mike, I tell you, a lot of what you mentioned resonates with me. I worked with JP Morgan for a long time, and it sounds like we had somewhat similar experiences working for a large corporation like that, in that you got such amazing experience there. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, how much that shaped what you were able to do once you did take that entrepreneurial leap.
It shaped it a tremendous amount, and it shaped it because I actually hit a wall myself back in the mid-90s when I was with Michelin. I was this quote unquote high potential leader who was getting all these opportunities and happened to be, in my case, one of the first African-Americans, a black person, to get these opportunities. So I felt that, okay, I've got to work hard to make sure that I am not letting my family down and the company down, but other people who look like me. So I was driving. I was working 12, 14 hours a day, 5-6 days a week. I actually ended up gaining about, having quote unquote success, but I ended up gaining about 30 pounds. I wasn't a very good husband. I stopped going to church. I was working in the community and working basically. And one day I was having headaches, didn't know why. Couldn't sleep very well, didn't know why. But really I was headed down the wrong path. And I remember getting up from my desk, going to the doctor, and the doctor gave me something to help with headaches, to help me sleep. Didn't work, kept going back. Finally, they scanned my head to make sure I didn't have anything medical, you know, any physical challenges going on. And the doctor said, hey, your head's fine, but I think you are under severe depression, headed towards depression. You need to change your life. And that led me on this journey of, okay, finding my own definition of success, which we can talk more about, but actually realizing that I need to change. And that whole process actually led me to doing what I'm doing now. So many of the people that I have the opportunity to serve and partner with, I can in some ways empathize with the journeys that they're on. Being a leader in any organization, as you know, especially business, is very, very challenging, very difficult. And the expectation is that you'll do what's necessary and do it with a big smile, regardless of whether or not you're imploding.
Well, yeah, for sure. And so I was curious to hear that. I selfishly asked that question a little bit because of the journey that I had that kind of was in parallel. You know, I'd always kind of want to do my own thing. And I, you know, had a very successful career. I was able to do a lot of different things within JP Morgan, but I always knew I wanted to do something different. And I knew I wanted to run my own ship. And I knew I reached the point, my sort of epiphany, Mike, was I knew I could make a bigger impact, and it wasn't going to happen in the corporate world. I could make a bigger impact outside of it. And so that's what was kind of my jumping off point. And I kind of abruptly made that decision. That's a whole nother story, but we can get into once we get back here in the next segment. But we got to hit a break here. We're talking with Mike Kelly. You can find out more at rightpathenterprises.com. Come back after the break and we'll continue talking with Mike Kelly.
If you would like to reach hundreds of thousands of business owners every week, Mr. Biz Radio can help. Our show airs globally 7 days a week for more than 25 hours across several internet radio stations, plus 20 plus podcast platforms. Also, video exposure on the new exclusive Mr. Biz Network streaming channel, which gets blasted to 100 plus streaming platforms, and the Mr. Biz YouTube channel, and our 350,000 social media followers multiple times every week. Join Mr. Biz Nation as an advertiser by emailing us at info@MrBizSolutions.com.
Attention, Mr. Biz Nation. We have an exclusive offer just for you. Get lifetime access to scarcity countdown timers and logic links for only $69. Yes, you heard it right. Only $69. These tools will add urgency to your email campaigns and website pages, helping you increase conversions, sales, and capture more leads. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Visit GetPulseTools.com now and take your business to new heights.
Got a question for Mr. Biz you want answered on air? Email it to info@MrBizSolutions.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show. It is time for the Mr. Biz tip of the week. And this week's tip is a short one. And I'll be honest with you, I've gotten feedback in the past. Some people don't like this one. People think this is a little bit too, for those of you familiar with, a little too much David Goggins-ish, if you're familiar with David Goggins at all. And I don't think it is at all. If you follow David Goggins or you listen to anything he talks about, I think this is pretty mild compared to how dedicated of an individual he is and determined. And the tip this week is, if the pain of losing is not greater than the joy of winning, you are playing a game you will eventually lose. The joy of winning is only going to take you so far. In my mind, it has to be that the pain of losing is just what drives you. And losing can be determined and defined in a lot of different ways, of course. But I think that's critically important. It goes into a much deeper conversation about what is your why and the impact you want to have and things like that. But that is the Mr. Biz tip of the week. Send all of your nasty comments to producer Alan. Don't send them to me. No, I'm just kidding. We always love to hear feedback, good and bad. But that is Mr. Biz tip of the week. And again, we're talking this week with Mr. Mike Kelly. You can check him out on LinkedIn, on Facebook, rightpathenterprises.com, rightpath, and that's R-I-G-H-T, rightpath.com. We'll put it in the show notes as well. But Mike, I want to, you touched on this just a little bit during the last segment, so I want to pick up there. And that's, you talked about through your journey, your career journey, your entrepreneur journey, you sort of redefined what success was for you. Talk to me a little bit about what that looked like and what your definition of success is now.
Yeah. Success is something that what I found over my life, really, and even now as I do the work I do, very few of us define on our own. And because of that, it is often defined for us. You know, we've got the internet with so much coming at us. We've got media in general. We've got working with Macy's. So having had an opportunity to work in retail and understanding how getting consumers to make decisions without thinking how all that works. We have to be conscious about defining success for ourselves, which I had not done. I had inherently taken on this definition that Ron Jensen out of California, guy who's a leadership guy to California, he describes as the five P's: pleasure, prosperity, power, prestige, and position. The five P's: pleasure, prosperity, power, prestige, position. In reality, for me, that's not necessarily my definition of success, but it's easy to take that on. And I had taken on elements of that. So for me, stepping back and getting clear on, and you talked about purpose, your why, and that sort of thing, but getting clear on that, understanding that life is short, we're not here very long. At the end of my journey, I'm looking back over my life, what would I like to see? Getting clear on what that is, getting a vision of that, and then getting clear on my why. And then after that, determining what mission I'm on and creating a mission statement aligned with that, for me, is important. So for me, success is becoming all I'm designed to be at the end of the day. And also helping others do the same. But it all starts with, in my opinion, Ken, defining success for yourself. If the listeners take nothing else from our time together today, I want to encourage them to take the time to consciously define success for yourself and encourage those you love, lead, and serve to do the same.
I love it, Mike. Yeah, I had someone explain it to me, and I've kind of thought about it this way as well. This was several years back, but and I think it ties exactly into what you're talking about is, and it was a little bit, it sounded a little bit over the top at first, but he said, what do you want people to say about you at your funeral? What would make you feel good if you heard people say X, Y, and Z about you at your funeral? And he said, you know, he was a nice guy. Or he was, what type of those things? And then what can you do in your life to make sure that people will say those types of things about you and when your end comes? And defining success, and it's funny, I was asked the question when I was interviewed one time, and someone, it kind of came out of left field. I didn't know we were going to even go down this path, but the conversation took us that way. And he asked me what my definition of success was, and I hadn't really honestly thought about it, but in the spur of the moment, I said, reaching my full potential. I don't want to get to the end and realize that I did not reach my full potential in whatever my endeavors are in life, as a husband, as a father, you know, as a businessman, as a community person, as a, you know, all philanthropic person, all these different areas of my life. I want to make sure that I reach my full potential. And to me, that's success. And you can have success in some and not others, of course, but I think that's an important thing. So, you know, in regards to, you know, we're talking about self-leadership and things like that. So with Right Path Enterprises, I want to talk a little bit. I mean, we're going to talk, you're going to give us some tips in the last segment, but I want to talk a little bit about Right Path Enterprises specifically. How are some ways that you help folks nowadays with Right Path Enterprises?
I help people in a number of different ways, but one in particular I will share, and I could actually share a couple, but one quickly is oftentimes organizations reach out to me to get my help with a leader who is, for example, I had one situation where someone was described as wicked smart, but they had a lot of other challenges. So for me, someone like that, I had an opportunity. We spent some time together, worked together for about a year, but we started out getting a clear understanding of where the person stood, getting a clear picture of where they stood. And that was done through assessments. I took this person through DISC, Enneagram, 16 types, and a few other assessments in a portal where we were able to get those results. And then I actually spent time with some people that this individual reported to, people who are peers and direct reports, and asked them three questions. What are her strengths? His or her strengths? What are his or her weaknesses? What else would you want this person to know? Got that feedback, sat down with this individual, went through what was in the portal. Then we talked about how that was showing up at work. The person was blown away, got emotional. But then I asked the question, what would you like for this to look like in the future? Got clear on that, developed some goals around that. And we started the process of moving towards that. And that incorporated my coaching questions, holding the person accountable, but also integrated some processes into that particular work with this person. One was getting results through others, a process that I use that's multi-session process. And over time, this person has gotten promoted into a senior level role and is having joy, not only at work, because we also talk about life as well. So it's not just work, it's life. One other thing I'll share is one other example is a gentleman who actually ended up retiring at 35. He followed the FIRE movement, which you've probably heard of FIRE, financial independence, retire early. So he retires at 35 and he didn't know what to do with his life at that point. Who am I? You know, I've really dedicated my life to being able to do this. So we went through a similar process with this individual as well, but we also really spent a lot of time defining what success was and getting clear on his purpose, creating a mission statement aligned with that, taking a look at the priority areas of life, and then setting goals to live out his life aligned with what his purpose was.
Well, I love what you said too. You know, I think it's so critical, and we thankfully I did this in my corporate career at JP Morgan, but the 360 feedback, because so often the way you're coming across, you might not realize it, right? A lot of people, most people think that they're pretty self-aware, but oftentimes, especially in the workplace, and it was interesting to see for me, specifically people who reported to me, is, you know, how they interacted. Sometimes it was different between if someone superior to them, above them, and someone who's equal or someone who's below them, which was a huge red flag, like, oh my gosh. And that holds back those people as being good leaders, because if you're just kissing butt to people above you and crapping on people below you, you're not going to get very far, right? You need to have a team. You need to have to be a good leader and continue to have success, especially in the corporate world. And so I think that feedback and having that, and the fact that you take that from multiple different areas and assessments, and then, you know, sort of that 360 aspect to it, to really delve into what are the challenges person's having and where's the disconnect? You know, I had the same type of thing with a person before, giving them the 360 feedback, and they're like, oh my gosh, people said that about me? Like, I never knew. I mean, so it's mind-blowing. We got to hit a break. I want to pick up when we come back on that and then have you give us some tips on developing better self-leaders. But we'll hit a break, come back, talking with Mike Kelly.
How would you like to have direct access to Mr. Biz to help you run your business more profitably and more efficiently? At MrBizSolutions.com, you get live access to not only Mr. Biz, but also several of his hand-picked and trusted business experts, each with 20-plus years of experience to help you optimally manage and grow your business. That's just the start of where Mr. Biz Solutions begins. Learn more at MrBizSolutions.com. That's MrBizSolutions.com.
Business owners have a continually growing to-do list with little time for revenue-producing activities. With Check Off Your List and their experienced team of virtual assistants, you can focus on growing your business. Visit checkoffyourlist.com to learn how Check Off Your List's skilled team can handle your day-to-day tasks like social media, bookkeeping, calendar maintenance, and much more. Contact Check Off Your List at checkoffyourlist.com or call 888-262-1249 to see how their virtual assistants can help you live to work rather than work to live.
Check out all three of Mr. Biz's best-selling books at MrBizBooks.com. Now, once again, here's Mr. Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're talking again this week with Mr. Mike Kelly. Check out his book, Leader Fluence, Secrets of Leadership Essential to Effectively Leading Yourself and Positively Influencing Others. We've been talking about that the whole show, and we're going to continue talking about that. Go out to his website, find out more at rightpathenterprises.com. Check him out on LinkedIn and Facebook. So I wanted to pick up, Mike. So we were talking about those assessments and things like that. I'm just a little bit curious, especially I was thinking about it during the break. How often when you go through that process with someone, are they just absolutely blown away? Like, oh my gosh, like they didn't realize they were perceived that way. Or, you know, do I really come off that way? Or is the self-awareness one of those things that's a critical first step in becoming a better self-leader?
It absolutely is in my mind, Ken. It absolutely, you can't move forward unless you know where you've been or where you are. And I find that really taking more of a strategic approach, when we think of strategic planning, it's often in the context of business. What have we thought about it in the context of our own lives? One of the things I do align with getting that feedback is I often encourage clients, let's get outside of the workplace.
Yep.
Maybe you get some feedback from your spouse if you or a significant other, your children, your friends, people that you're serving within the community. What are they saying? Ask them those three questions. And that's what I've had the opportunity to do with clients as well. And again, there's always this shock, the surprise. But that's okay. It's better to have that opportunity to be shocked and surprised. It's better to be there than not knowing. Because once we know, then we can set a plan to do something about it. So always, I wish that I had had that prior to hitting the wall. I did not have that. So for me, it was just drive until I couldn't really drive anymore. And my goal now as an entrepreneur is to help leaders figure that out for themselves and do the same. You start our time together talking about the fact that personal leadership is something that certainly we don't talk a lot about. And I've seen that as I've done this work, I've had people come to me and say, self-leadership, personal leadership, I've never heard of that before. Yeah. I'm talking senior leaders of big companies. You just don't think about it. So we have a responsibility. It's clear that you have this passion as well to really help people.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a great segue, Mike. So what are some practical things before you leave us? What are some practical things we can do that we can enact on to become better at self-leadership, at personal leadership?
Well, one thing is get the feedback. It might be difficult, but get the feedback. But before you do that, define success. How do I define success? What does that mean to me? But get a clear understanding of that. And it can take time, and you might have to continue to move forward to get that, but get the feedback. And once you get the feedback, don't just get the feedback and sit on it. Oftentimes getting the feedback is not easy, especially if you're a person in a high level role, because as we all know, the higher we are in an organization, the more people tell us what they think we want to hear rather than what we really need to hear, which is the truth. So then we have to become somewhat humble and transparent and ask for help and create an environment where people are willing to tell us the truth. But once we get that, once we get that feedback, then what am I going to do about it? Then that involves certainly setting some goals. But even before you get there, you want to create a mission statement aligned with some of the goals that you set. I find that very few people have a mission statement. I can share stories with you about groups I've spoken to, and I've asked the question, how many of your organizations have a mission statement? Every hand in the room go up. I asked the question, how many of you have a personal mission statement? 3%, if that, go up. So creating a personal mission statement aligned with your why and that vision of success at the end of your life. I've done that, and my mission statement is to use my God-given leadership, analytical, financial skills to help my family and others grow to become all they're designed to be while continuing to grow myself. So I encourage people to create their own personal mission statement. That's another very important point and something that I would encourage everyone to do. But then once you get that, think about your life in the areas of the wheel of life, which you've probably heard of. There are a number of them. There's one out there that's faith, family, fitness, finances, fun, firm, friends. How are you doing in each one of those areas? If you had to rate yourself 1 to 10, where are you strong? Where are you weak? And if the ones that you say is number one is the priority for you, if I were to take a look at your calendar, would your calendar reflect that? In most cases, it wouldn't. So we want to get clear on our priorities, make sure that we are not prioritizing our priorities, but we're scheduling our priorities in our calendar. And then you want to set goals in each one of those areas, where you're off, where you want to improve, with action steps over time, and get accountability in your life to help you move forward with that. Because it's hard if we don't have accountability. It can be difficult. But at the end of the day, one of the things that I continue to struggle with, but I'm working really hard at, is celebrating success.
Yes.
So that is high level. I mean, I could go into more detail, but it is so important. There's a quote that I shared with the team that I had the opportunity to lead at Macy's, and I encouraged them to do it. It's Jim Rohn quote, and it's, work harder on yourself than you do on your job. If you work hard on your job, you'll earn a living. If you work hard on yourself, you'll earn a fortune. And a fortune is not necessarily money. It can also be joy, peace of mind. So working hard on ourselves is so important at the end of the day.
Yeah. You know, one of the things you touched on there, Mike, is, and I heard someone else say this too, is if you have pretty strong self-awareness, which I know some of us struggle with, but along the lines of what you were talking about in all these different buckets, is put yourself on the other side of the table. So for example, put yourself, if you have a spouse, would you want to be your own spouse? Would you want you to be your father or mother? Would you want to be your customer? Would you want to fill in the blank, right? Would you want to be, serving in the community along my side? Would you want to be serving in a faith-based organization? You know, put yourself on the other side and really think about, would I buy from me? Would I want to be a customer of myself, or would I want to be, a spouse, a father, et cetera? And I think when you do that, again, it's difficult, as you said, but I think if you have enough self-awareness, that kind of opened a lot of eyes as well. You open your eyes as well to like, oh my gosh, like I'm doing pretty good in these buckets here, but man, this bucket, not so great.
Yeah. What you just described there, Ken, takes humility. And great leaders, really effective leaders, understand the power of being humble. So asking for feedback takes humility. It also takes humility to listen without jumping in, trying to refute what you're hearing. It takes even more humility to then say, thank you, I'm going to do something with this. So
yeah,
humility,
I think,
is so important.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike. I think too is, sometimes out of feedback we would get with our leadership development process that when I was in the corporate world is we would go through a lot of these things you're talking about, not all of them, but some of those things you're talking about, but then nothing would happen. There'd be a course of action, but the people wouldn't take the action. And so then they wouldn't get better. And then their career would stagnate and they'd get frustrated and oftentimes end up leaving the company in a frustrated mindset because they didn't take the action, as you're talking about.
Action is so important. Action, we all know this. Goals without taking action on them really means nothing. And one of the things that can help us there is if we set a goal, think about what is the loss, what are the things to be gained and the losses to be avoided from achieving this goal? And then what are some of the obstacles that might present themselves and what are solutions to each one of those obstacles? And then let's write out what action steps we're going to take by when and who's going to hold us accountable for achieving these things. And then finding ways to track that can then allow us to move forward and take, but that takes work. It takes a commitment, but the return on that type of effort is immeasurable, in my opinion, can be immeasurable.
Yeah, and I love it. I know this sounds like a numbers nerd, and I am a self-professed numbers nerd, but what you measure gets better, but you have to measure it, right? You have to constantly be measuring those things because if you're measuring it and having accountability and having it in front of you all the time, you're going to continue taking the actions to get better, even if you have some bumps in the road and some peaks and valleys and everything. Mike, fascinating show. I really appreciate you coming on. We're out of time, but I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Ken. And thank you again for having me. It's been great to be with you and Alan as well. Thank you. Despite the fact that you're a Pittsburgh fan.
That's good, Mike. That's good, Mike. Well, again, Mike Kelly, rightpathenterprises.com, LinkedIn, Facebook. We'll put it in the show notes, guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your week. And don't forget, as always, cash flow is king.
To become part of Mr. Biz Nation, follow him on all social media platforms or never miss a show by going to MrBizRadio.com. If you prefer free video content, visit the Mr. Biz YouTube channel or check out his streaming channel, which is available on 100-plus streaming platforms at MrBizNetwork.com.